This week's parasha begins Vayigash Elav Yehuda Vayomer Bi Adoni Yedabeno Avdcha Dova Ba'ozne Adoni. Yehuda says, I'd like to speak Ba'ozne Adoni, in the ears of my master. It's a strange Lashon. Rashi has difficulty with the Lashon. Rashi explains it means Yichnesu Dvorai Ba'oznecho. My words should enter your ears. And Siv has another pshat in it. Another question we could ask at the beginning of this week's parasha is Yehuda goes to Yosef and repeats over the whole story that we know already. Everything that he says has already been said before. What is Yehuda adding? Why is he saying over the story, repeating the story that's been said once already? So Beis Halevi explains. I'll explain to you with the Maisa first. There was a member of the Mafia, who, he was Spanish, and he had a job to deliver $1 million that they had stolen, and he never arrived with the delivery of the money. He was supposed to take one country to another, he never came. And the Mafia made inquiries and found out that he had disappeared with the money. He has the money, he's gone with it. So they sent people after him. They caught up with the man. He was in his hotel room, and one of the Mafia comes over to him, and he says to him, where's the money? Now, he didn't speak Spanish, so he told it to him in Spanish to ask for the money. So the man says back, I don't know what you're talking about. He asked him again, you better give us the money. He says, I don't know anything about it. So he pulls out a gun, puts it in his hand, and says, listen, if you don't tell us where the money is, I'm going to blow your brains out. And this Spanish person then says, he realizes it's now or never, so he says, okay, it's in a parking lot, the car is parked, and he tells him, row Z, number 15, you'll find it at the trunk of the car over there. Just take the money. And the interpreter turns to the Mafia guy and says to him, the guy says, he doesn't care what you're going to do, he is not going to tell you where the money is. And of course, he gets killed. What happened over here is they're having a conversation, Yosef and the brothers, in last week's parasha. And they say to him, Yosef says to them, Meraglim atem, you are spies. They answer back, Shneim osavadecha achim anachnu. And they give an answer back. He says to them again, but you're spies. And again, they're who actually did Barati? See, I'm proving it to you. The conversation made no sense. Everything they said, he's just saying, you're spies. There was no Shakla Vatari over here. He's saying, and they're responding, just, and he realizes there's something wrong. The only thing that makes sense, he said, is that the interpreter is not saying over what we're saying. There's some miscommunication over here. So Yehuda comes forward and says, Dabana Dava Ba'ozne Adoini. Let me talk to you directly, without an interpreter. And he repeats over the whole story again, because obviously until now you haven't got the message. Ki kamoicha kefarei, just like Pari understands all languages, you must understand all languages, so let me talk directly to you. There's another Beis Halevi, probably one of the most famous Beis Halevis in this week's parasha, to explain the Medrash. Abba Kain Bardler says, woe to us from the day of judgment. Woe to us from the day of rebuke. Yosef, who was from the youngest of the brothers, when he gave rebuke to his brothers, they weren't able to answer him. When we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lavoi, and he is Mechiach us, he rebukes us, Lefi Mashu, according to each person what he is. Alach is Kama V'Kama, how much more so? This was what Chazal saw from the story of Yosef and his brothers. If we would have been there and watched the reunion of Yosef and his brothers, what would we have said? We would have said, wow, this is so beautiful. Perhaps a tear would have dripped from our eyes. So emotional, the brothers haven't seen each other in 22 years. They're going to tell their father now. It's going to be, they're going to live happily ever after. That's how we would have looked at the story. But Chazal didn't see it like that. Chazal see it as a Musa Shmooze of what's going to happen to us. What's the pshat in it? Rav Shom Shvadron explains that he says he once saw such a similar story. He was on a boat from America to Eretz Yisrael in the 1950s. In those days, you only traveled if you were moving there. It was a very difficult trip, a few weeks on a boat. And the captain says, we could see land. And everybody ran to the dock to see Eretz Yisrael for the first time. The ship docks, and they're all rushing, ready, getting ready to get off the boat. And they're told they cannot get off the boat. There's Israeli soldiers getting aboard. There's going to be customs. There's going to be papers to fill in. And they stand there on the boat waiting, getting their things together. It's a tremendous noise. There's people on the dock waiting for their family that's arriving. And everybody's scanning the dock, looking to see if they can recognize their family to wave. It's tremendous excitement. There's one person on the boat, his name is Moshe, who is pacing up and down, back and forth like a lion in a cage. And they all knew the story of this boy. This boy had been separated from his mother during the Holocaust, and he had never seen her since. They didn't know if the other was alive. They had tracked each other down, and now he's going to meet his mother for the first time in many years. There's going to be a reunion. And all of a sudden, everybody on the boat hears a scream, Moshe, Moshe. And then they see this boy screaming, Imma, Imma. And she runs onto the boat. There's soldiers in the way. She just pushes them aside, runs towards her son. She's hugging her son. He's hugging her. And they're crying. And everybody in the boat is watching. Everybody stop where they're doing, put their things down. And there's total silence watching this reunion between mother and son. And everybody feels very emotional about it. And again, a few minutes later, everything gets back to normal again. People get back to their own lives. And a little while later, they probably all forget about it. Maybe mentioned in passing. But there's two people who never forget about it. That's Moshe and his mother. Why? For everybody else, it was a story. For them, it was life itself. When Chazal see the Torah, it's not a story that you learn in kindergarten about Yosef and his brothers. It's not a play in Broadway, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. What they see is life itself is the Torah. Reb Shom says that in the early 1960s, I think it was, he came to America, and the people where we were saying schlapped to staying, schlapped him to see the World Fair. And he's looking at the exhibits. One of the exhibits, there's people looking at it and studying it very intently. And they walk on to see other exhibits. And Mr. Huppen, by the end of the day, they're on their way out, and they see the same people who are at the exhibit in the morning are still at that exhibit in the evening. And they haven't seen anything else. And they wonder. There's so many interesting things to see, and these people only saw one exhibit. So Rav Shom explains to the people with him, you know why? I can tell you why. These people obviously manufacture something like this machine. They have machines similar to this machine. But this machine is the latest technology. Does it much better than their factories can do it. And they're looking, what can they learn? What can they change in their manufacturing? For them, it's not just a show, an exhibition. For them, it's life itself. That is how Chazal look at the Torah. So when they see over here, they see a rebuke. But the question is, Yosef, where did he rebuke his brothers? All he said to them is, Oy dov yichoy, is my father still alive? There's no rebuke there at all. And second of all, why is Yosef asking this question? Is my father still alive? They have mentioned many times about their father. And Yosef has asked them about their father, how he's doing. So why are they asking, is my father still alive? Why is Yosef asking, is my father still alive? So the Beis Halevi explains, but before I explain to you the Beis Halevi, I'll tell you something very similar from the Baal Shem Tov, like the Beis Halevi. The Baal Shem Tov explains the Mishnah that a person will be punished in the next worlds, midatoi v'shaloi midatoi, with his knowledge and without his knowledge. What do those words mean in the Mishnah Novice? So he explains, imagine it's after 120 and a person comes up to Shammai and they say to, oh, you just arrived, we need you now. We have a din Torah, we have a court case, and would like you to sit as a dine. Ah, what do I know? No, you're good enough. Come, sit here on the court case. So they slap him. They sit down. He's one of the judges. And they bring the case. The prosecution gets up, Ackerman, and the prosecution says, And the prosecution says, this man was driving down Avenue J on a Friday afternoon. He double parked and 30 cars were not able to get through because of him. What do you say to such a man? And right away he gives his opinion. I don't believe it. He blocked 30 cars and he remembers all the frustrations he had when he used to drive down Avenue J and people did that to him. So he starts screaming, throw the book at him. He deserves Gehenna for such a thing. Imagine how these people were suffering. And then they say, when this man, he had people, acquaintances, and he didn't talk to them nicely. He was mean to them. He would joke about them, cause them sorrow sometimes. What do you think about that? And he would say, ah, disgusting. And again, he would give out punishments he felt should be done. He would say, what should happen to such a person? They say, okay, thank you very much. And then they tell him, oh, by the way, Atah Ish, you're the man we're judging. That was you on Avenue J. Remember who double parked there. That was you. Remember, Yeshiva, how you treated your friends. So you're all thinking to yourselves, great. So when I sat in that Din Torah and they asked me that question, I'm going to say, the guy on Avenue J, ah, come on. It was only 2 seconds he stopped for. I'm going to say, what are you talking about? It was 15 minutes. At 2 seconds, it turned into 15 minutes. What could he do? He needed food for Shabbos or the mitzvah. Go easy. Give him an ice cream, maybe. And then they'll say about the guy taunting his friends. They started up with him. It wasn't his fault. And you'll get away with it, you think. But the Baal Shem Tov says, no. That's not exactly how they do it. What they do is, yes, you do the judgment yourself. But they don't wait till the next world to use you as a diet. They ask you in this world, they use you as a diet. What they do is, when they have their court case in front of them, your court case there, and they want to judge it. Now they show you parked in Avenue J in front of all those cars and blocked them. Now they show you another time when you were driving down Avenue J and there was somebody blocking you when you were trying to get through and you were cursing out the guy and screaming, what a rusher he is. He should get Gehenna for that. Then you were paskening against him. And when somebody started up with you, how you responded and felt he should be punished. That's what they're going to use against you. So now you'll say to yourself, so it's very simple. Yeah, it is very simple. If while you're here in this world and people do things wrong, you judge them favorably, you've done them the kafschus. Yeah, you're right. You'll get away with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge you favorably. You do have the key for it. They will judge you midatoi, v'shaloi midatoi. You don't realize that you're judging the whole time. You're being judged without realizing it, judging yourself. The Beis Halevi says a very similar pshat in this week's parasha. He says, Yosef was rebuking his brothers. How is he rebuking them? He says, Oido vichoy. That wasn't a question. He was giving them Musa. You're complaining how your father will suffer without Binyonim. The Tsar is going to feel. Did you worry about that when you put me in the pit? When you sold me to Mitzrayim? Were you thinking that then? Oido vichoy, could my father live without me? Back then you didn't care about that. That was the biggest Musa they could get. He's showing them that exactly what you're complaining about, you did that yourselves. And of course, the brothers see that. They've gone through 22 Yom Kippurs. 22 Yom Kippurs together. Rav Shlomo Shvadron would point out, in the Arizal Shul, you had the Arizal, the Baal Chadoid Rav Shlomo Elkabetz, you had the Alshech, you had the Sefer Charedim, the Beis Yosef, you had everybody there. What a minion it was to be. But the Shiftikah was more than that. They would daven a Yom Kippur together. And nevertheless, they never felt they did a chet with Yosef. And now all of a sudden it hit them like a bombshell. It hit them. Look what they were what they did. When he said those words, Oy Dovichai, Nivalu Miponov, they were so shook up they couldn't say anything at all. And this is how the Ribbono Shel is going to rebuke us. When we're going to stand there in court and we'll think we have excuses. I was too tired to get up for Shacharis. I couldn't get up. I can tell you, I davened last Sunday when you were off yeshiva, I davened for Sikin. And I saw there were many Bochrim davening there. And I was wondering, it's a day off, why are they davening for Sikin? And I found out why. Something very important was taking place. They had a ski trip. Now, I don't know what time they went to bed the night before, but I don't think it matters. They had the ski trip. They were up. Baruch Hashem, they were davening for Sikin. But they managed to get up. You're going to try and say you were too tired to get up for Shacharis? They're going to show you times you got up. You're going to say, a person will say, I couldn't give money for tzedakah. I didn't have the money. And they'll show you how you didn't have the money and the money you spend on frivolous things. They're going to show over and over again, they're going to show examples in your lifetime. We're going to be so embarrassed then when the Rebbeinu Shlomo shows us the contradictions in our own lives. But the order is a little wrong there. It seems to be out of order. It says, Oy lonum yoim hadin, woe to the day of judgment, woe to the day of rebuke. First comes the rebuke, they tell you what you did wrong. Then should come the judgment. Says Rav Shom Shadron, Moshul Maradov Adoyma, imagine a person who it's during wartime and they're not allowed to have any lights at night because the enemy could see and bomb. It has to be complete blackout at night. This man is walking along the street and he drops his pen. It's not a Rebbe pen or Parker, it's a big 5-cent pen. And he's looking for his pen, he can't find it. So he has in his pocket some matches. He remembers, he's not allowed to. Not a big deal, who's going to see it? So he lights a match. He still doesn't see it. Puts his hand in his pocket, finds a piece of paper. Oh, very good. He burns the piece of paper. It's a big flame. And now he can find the pen, puts it in his pocket. Feels very good about it. It's a tap on his shoulder. You're under arrest. And again, Nebuch is taken to the jail by the police officer. He put this light on. The police officer says, you're going to have to wait here till the morning, till the judge can see you. Nebuchadnezzar has to sit in jail overnight. And he's thinking to himself, Meshiga, over a pen that costs 5 cents, hey, I'm stuck in jail overnight. The next morning, he comes in front of the judge, and the judge says to him, you lit that match? He says, yeah. There's no excuses for that. $100 fine. He's really upset now. Not only was he a night in jail, he's paying now with his 5 cent pen a $100 fine. He puts his hand in his pocket to take out the money. He can't find the money. And all of a sudden he realizes, oi, that piece of paper he burned to find the pen, that was a $100 bill in his pocket. And he lost that $100 too. Says Rav Shlomo Shvadron, oi lonu miyoyim hadin, there's going to be a court case. They're going to make a psak against us. And they're going to think to ourselves, wow, how stupid we are. How could we have made those mistakes? We contradicted ourselves for our own lives. We thought we had excuses we didn't have. Our life was one big lie. The Shvatim over here, after 22 years of thinking they were right in selling Yosef, they were so broken because they realized they'd lived a lie for 22 years. They didn't know what to say. Imagine when the Rebbeinu Shlomo shows us what a lie we lived, how embarrassed we'll be. And for the rest of eternity after that, will be Yoim HaTechacha. Not rebuke from the Beis Din, but rebuke that we're rebuking ourselves. There will be Tzibrach, and how could we make such mistakes like that? Okay, Shabbos.